Brother Steve, who has, as I said, he very graciously accepted this invitation to serve in, to fill in for Brother Kent Humphrey. And the title for his talk is Healing Leaves. Healing Leaves. Brother Steve Mangos.
Good afternoon, brethren. Last Sunday, your brethren in Los Angeles voted to have their love brought to you. And I'm sure that they're all thinking of all of us here. Healing leaves. We're all looking forward to the kingdom when we will be with the Father and our Lord. The further joy will be the bringing of kingdom blessings to the entire world of mankind. Mankind is looking for a better world. And as they see it, it would be a world free of violence, sickness, and misery. They're continually looking for leaders that will make this dream come true. You know, so many have what some others think they want. Freedom from financial worry, with the ability to have whatever they would want. Or just financial security and the ability to have necessary health care that will ensure them a better quality of life. For most, I'll qualify that, for a great many of them, the ultimate would be going to heaven when they die. Then all the problems found on earth will no longer exist. And of course we know that that dream will come true, except that there will be a few minor changes. In the meantime, they're looking to their political leaders to make life better for them here on earth. The leaders have been trying all manners of systems and ideas to achieve this goal. Some in sincerity, and some to gain power and to gain that dream for themselves. The scriptures tell us that mankind will have that dream. They will have leadership and a government that will have the people's interest as their foremost objective. And that will be to govern with pure and equal justice for every man. We can see this prophecy given to us through John's vision in Revelation 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. The first heaven and earth no longer existed. That first arrangement of church and state had been done away with and replaced with a new organization. The slate was wiped clean, so to speak. And a new government organized and directed by the new heavens, as seen in Revelation 21:2. Revelation 21:2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This new government will be under the direction of the husband, the groom, and his bride. Christ the groom, and the bride, the church, the body. The new heavenly Jerusalem, the inauguration of the glorified Christ, head and body. Could I ask one of the brethren from frigid Fresno to drink a glass of water. My mouth is turning to cotton. I didn't see it. Oh, there's a picture. They always... Did I read Romans 8:22? Speaking of the world and their problems. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It seems that the TV media is mesmerized by tragedy, disaster, war, and anything else that shows the suffering of people. TV gives us instantaneous visual evidence of all that happens anywhere in the world. The grief shown on the faces of people going through tragedies is vivid evidence of the need of the kingdom. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Mankind has continually looked forward to a time when suffering would be a thing of the past. Some expect that to happen on earth through the ingenuity of man. Some expect it when they die and go to heaven. Unrealized by them, of course, is that the fact that what they are waiting for is the completion of the church, head and body, so that God's kingdom can be established and their desires realized. Having been called and blessed with the Holy Spirit that has opened our eyes and minds to the precious promises of God, we have a knowledge and understanding of His plan. While it was revealed to John in a vision, we have been given the Holy Spirit, which has opened our eyes and minds, which has given us the ability to see and understand His plan for an earthly kingdom as given to us in the Scriptures. In Revelation 21:9, the angel took John to see the bride, the Lamb's wife, Jesus and the church. The church, head and body, in all its glory, descending from heaven as a city, representing a new government of divine creation to begin the work of blessing the world of mankind. We can see this in Psalm 72:7 and Isaiah 1:19, which gives us an idea of what life will be like in the millennium under the direction of the Messiah. In His days shall the righteous flourish and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Isaiah 1:19 through 20. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword of the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. There are two similar scriptures in the Old Testament that picture the millennium. One is in Ezekiel 47:1 in the description of Ezekiel's temple. Ezekiel 47:1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And these represent the waters of truth, restitution and millennial blessings being poured upon mankind and the earth in keeping with the promise to Abraham, the blessing of all the families of the earth. The waters coming out from under the house toward the east would be in keeping with the fact that the high priest came out of the temple of the tabernacle on the Day of Atonement towards the east to bless the people. The river of life flowing towards the east will bring life to all of mankind. Ezekiel 47:3 through 5. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, through the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. The gradual deepening of the water of truth in life shows the gradual development of the kingdom as the blessings grow and cover the earth. The blessings flowing from the New Jerusalem becoming ever deeper until everyone and everything is affected by the influence of the kingdom. It emphasizes the fact that it will take 1,000 years for the perfection of man. That time when the earth and mankind will be totally immersed in the truth of God's word and in total harmony with the Father. Zechariah 14:8. This is another scripture in the Old Testament of the millennial age. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. These are the waters flowing to the east. Again, a picture of life-giving waters of the kingdom flowing from the New Jerusalem and glorified church. This picture parallels the picture in Revelation 21:1 that speaks of a river of water of life flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. These two scriptures are describing the same river of life, and they give us a glimpse into the future, the day in which the kingdom blessings will flow from the throne of God. It is Jehovah's plan for the salvation of mankind. He promised Abraham, "In thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." This pure river of life, clear as crystal, is flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb to give life to mankind. Revelation 21:9. "Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." The Lamb and his wife constitute, of course, the New Jerusalem, the new government that will wipe away all the oppressive organizations that developed under the curse and usher in the new order of God's kingdom. This river of living waters will heal the earth and give life to all who will drink. These are the waters that Jesus spoke of with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4:14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Jesus was offering the Samaritan woman a refreshing drink that carries with it the hope of everlasting life through faith in him as the Redeemer. It is the same refreshing water offered to all that are called and invited to strive for a crown that will identify them as members of the Christ head and body. Then, when the church is complete and beyond the veil, that wellspring of clear water of truth will be offered to all mankind. The fact that the water's source is the throne of God and the Lamb is characterized by the crystal clarity of the water. It is so pure that the healing qualities are unmistakable. While we enjoy these healing qualities now, the world is blinded to this fact. When the Christ is complete and man's eyes and mind are washed by this crystal clear water of truth, the Word of God, they will understand that it is there for the taking, and it will be their refreshment as long as they are obedient to the laws of God. Revelation 22:2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Here we see what must be a broad street of the city. In the middle of the street flows the river, just as a large boulevard is divided by a grass strip, making a roadway on either side. On each side of the bank, on each bank of the river, grows the tree of life. Here, tree is singular and implies one kind of tree that bears 12 kinds of fruits and has a new crop every month. However, in Ezekiel 47, 7 and 12, a parallel picture, we see trees plural on each side of the river. Ezekiel 47, 7 and 12. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Ezekiel 47, 12. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and that side, shall go trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Most commentaries state that the tree in Revelation 22:2 really should be plural. Rotherham also refers back to Ezekiel 47:7 as the same river and trees that are on either side of the river. All these trees will grow fruit that will be food for the nourishment of mankind. It will be a perfect food, a life-sustaining food for mankind in the kingdom. As we see in Matthew 3:10, all trees are not good, because the good ones bear good fruit. Matthew 3:10. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. We see in Matthew 7:20 and 21 that the elect shall be known by the fruits they bring to maturity. Bearing good fruit is a reflection of doing of God's will. Matthew 7:20 and 21. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is limited to those who are called, and only those who are faithful to their calling and to the Father. Then those faithful ones who are overcomers, the righteous ones, will become the trees of life, as indicated in Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The Apostle Paul in Colossians 2:6 and 7 likens the Christian to a tree in his spiritual development. Colossians 2:6 and 7. As you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. In researching and looking at the reprints, I came across a paragraph where Brother Russell uses a tree to describe the Christian. And I'd like to read it to you, because I could paraphrase it, but it would never come out the way he said it. Brother Russell's comment on this scripture, to me, is so good I'm going to read it to you. I said that. And it's reprint 5557. As the roots of a tree push themselves downward and imbibe the nutrient of the soil, while at the same time the trunk and the branches reach up into the atmosphere to obtain through the leaves the necessary elements of growth, so the mentality of the Christian takes hold of the great and precious promises, the Word of God, while at the same time he is building character through his heart appreciation of these promises in connection with the experiences of life. The roots of faith push down deep into the knowledge of the divine plan, while the tree of character grows higher and higher, developing and maturing the rich fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. For instruction is a form of construction. Ezekiel 47:12. This scripture says, "Whose leaf shall not fade, and the leaves thereof for medicine." The leaves will not fade or wilt. And this is important because in Revelation 22:2, the leaves are said to be for the healing of the nations. They must remain strong and crisp if they are to complete their mission. That word fade is Strong's 5034, nabale, means, of course, to wilt, to fall away, or faint, to be vile, or to wither. The fruit shall not be consumed. Now, this gives the thought that it will not be eaten, but later in the verse, it states that the fruit is meat, or food to be eaten. The NIV uses the word fail instead of consumed. The fruit will not fail, fade, fall off the tree, and rot or wither. And Rotherham also supports this thought. The word consumed is Strong's 8552, Tomam, and it means to fail or come to the full, be all gone, to be wasted. In other words, the fruit will not become so ripe that it will turn rotten and fall and be useless. The NIV also says that these trees on either side of the river will bear new fruit every month. The implication is that there is more than one kind of tree, each bearing its own kind of fruit with a new crop every month. Now, is this a literal fruit that will be meat or food for mankind in the kingdom? We find the answer in Galatians 5:22-23 and 2 Peter 1:5-10, and I know that you all know these scriptures. This fruit represents the fruits of the Spirit developed by the church, the fruits that identified them this side of the veil as members of the elect class that has to show this character development if they are to make their call and election sure. Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance." 2 Peter 1:5-10, "Says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity." It says here that if we develop these fruits, the graces, we will never fall. These are the character traits we must develop if we are to make our calling and election sure, as stated in 2 Peter 1:10. If we develop these fruits, ye shall never fail. Revelation 22:2 states that the trees on either side of the river will bear 12 manner of fruits. If we count the fruits of the spirits listed in Galatians and 2 Peter, and count love as rendered brotherly kindness, which is filial or duty love, and charity, which is agape love, as being one love, and long-suffering, the same as patience, which Strong's does, we find that there are 12 fruits of the Spirit. And if that were true, then it would identify the 12 manner of fruits. In the kingdom, each person resurrected will have to develop these same character traits in order to be in compliance with the qualities that are needed to be in a condition of atonement with God. They will partake of these characteristics from the church in the form of education and guidance that it will eventually lead to perfection. Revelation 22:2 says, "The leaves are for the healing of the nations." Ezekiel 47:12 says, "The leaf is medicine." The church, as ambassadors of Christ, performs a mission of compassion and comfort for all as we witness the truth with the promise of the kingdom blessings for all the families of the earth. Likewise, in the kingdom work of the Christ will be to nourish mankind as they walk up the highway of holiness. The work of education and nourishment needed for the development of mental and moral standards that are in tune with the Heavenly Father will be the work of the church, head and body. These trees of life on both sides of the river represent the church giving nourishment, strength, and healing medication that will bring mankind back to perfection and at one with God. And there's another scripture to emphasize the fact that the church will be trees. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Jeremiah 17:1 through 14 is a picture of Israel as a nation rejecting the heavenly calling and those individuals who accepted the call. It uses trees in both the negative and positive sense. Jeremiah 17:1 through 14. "The sin of Judah is written down with an iron stylus and a diamond point. It is engraved upon the tablet of their heart. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees on the hills." And this, of course, is in reference to the high places that were developed by King Ahaz, King Hezekiah's father. Developed these high places, which were places of worship to strange gods, and they would take these poles, which were, of course, tree trunks, and plant them by the altars, and they were tokens to Asherah, the Canaanites' goddess of fertility. So they were worshiping strange gods. And we go on here and it says, "My mountain in the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance I gave you. I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know." Now then, in 17:5, now we'll skip that one. In verses 7 through 8 of Jeremiah 17, pictures those who put their faith and trust in the Lord, the elect, as trees alongside of a river, and its description is that of the trees on either side of the river of life in Ezekiel 47:7-12 and Revelation 22:2. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. In 13th verse, those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise. Why, if the tree represents the church, does it say the leaves are for the healing of the nations? When a tree is in season for bearing its fruit, oh boy, and we came up here a few weeks ago up the valley, the most beautiful sight you ever saw, all those groves of thousands of trees all in bloom. I think they were almond trees. Gorgeous. But if there are no trees, no leaves on the trees, the tree is dead and has no life in it. In the spring, when the green leaves begin to sprout, it is said that it is a rebirth or life bursting forth. In other words, leaves say life. To say that the leaves and the trees are the healing agent is particularly significant and a beautiful symbol because of the important part that botanical life plays in the lives of all mankind. We might even say a life-enhancing part. Recently, I was watching a television program on the part that chemical scientists play in making the medications we use today when we're feeling under the weather. They were discussing how a substance taken from a tree in South America is used to produce a particular medication almost everyone uses from time to time. They were saying that the basic atom in all living matter is carbon, and that this particular, whatever they took, the bark from the tree, had two carbon atoms and several other atoms. And when they could replicate this in the laboratories, and then they manufactured it. They manufactured aspirin. And this was accomplished in the Bayer laboratories in Germany. We all thought Bayer aspirin was an American product. Well, they sold it to the Americans, and then we sold it back to them just recently, I read. I happened to be watching the program with my biochemist daughter-in-law, who was explaining to me in layman terms what they were saying. I made the comment that I had heard that all the medications we have today comes from trees or plants or herbs and so forth. Well, I was very quickly corrected by a not all. I said, oh, well, okay. So I decided to research the subject a little bit. I went to the library at our local state and county arboretum. I found stacks of books on the subject. Seeing that we all hope to be trees sometime in the future, dispensing life-giving blessings, I thought you might be interested in your medicinal roots. I'll quote a few bits of information that I obtained. It said the natural world once served as the source of all medicinal agents, with higher plants constituting by far the principal sources of these. Higher plants have served humankind as sources of medicinal agents since its earliest beginnings. In fact, natural products once served as a source of all drugs. And we know that folklore medicine is all that people used to have. And we know that today they're going back and they're finding this out and they're making use of all that information, what they used to call old wives' tales, I guess. Today, natural products and their derivatives still represent over 50% of all drugs in clinical use. I'm going to list a couple of, two or three of them here. The African Strophanthus species and calabar beans have been medicinally useful in cardiac medications. The East Indian sankroot is used to make tranquilizers. Bioactive and poisonous plants in folklore history yield cardiac medications such as digitalis, codeine, morphine, quinine, ephedrine, cocaine, theophylline, and other well-known and useful drugs. And anybody who suffers from asthma has heard that word theophylline. I've heard it a lot myself. Plants continue to be important sources of new drugs, as evidenced by recent approvals in the United States of new plant-derived drugs. Toxol, an anti-cancer drug from the scarce western yew tree. In December 1992, a medication for ovarian cancer is another recent drug. And you know, there are 250,000 species of these trees, plants. They have only researched 5 to 15% of them. And then another particularly interesting thing I read. The other day I received a bi-monthly newspaper. It's called Dispatch from Jerusalem. It was the November-December 94 article, paper. I don't know why I received it, but I did. It was put out by a group called Bridges for Peace. It was an article that told of a woman virologist at the Hebrew University Hadassah Medical Center in Jerusalem who was conducting research on the elderberry. She found that the proteins in the elderberry isolate the viruses and they die. Because she developed this, and because it contains only elderberries, she sold it in health stores, health food stores. It's called Sambucol. Now, there are many elderberry remedies on the market, but none of the active principle she had isolated. And in scientific tests, Sambucol was found to be effective against 7 flu strains. And of the results of all their tests, the people who had flu and took this Sambucol were cured in 2 days. I wish I had, my wife and I had some earlier this year. My only warning is, don't stock up on elderberry wine, because that won't do it. You got to have that isolated protein. Going back to the two scriptures that refer to the leaves as medicine or as healing, in Ezekiel 47:12 and Revelation 22:2, we feel that the whole tree represents the church class, and the fruit it yields, as well as the leaves, contribute to the healing and the blessings of all the families of the earth. The river proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb is in the middle of the street. That also must be leading to the throne. On either side of the river, available to all who travel this street, are the trees of life, with the fruit for nourishment and leaves for healing. The first thing that came to my mind was the highway in Isaiah 35:8. And we know the whole chapter 35 pictures the kingdom. And we know that this highway is the way upon which the redeemed of the Lord will pass on their way to reconciliation with God. And as they go up this highway, I like to think of it lined with these trees, the church, helping them along the way, encouraging them, and nourishing them. To carry the picture of the river of crystal clear water, my time is up. I know. So I will close here. The crystal clear waters of truth, unpolluted by doctrinal errors and centuries of man-made traditions that have no basis in Scripture, will flow from the glorified Christ to all mankind. Refreshing water and healing leaves that will bring righteousness, life, and the desire for all God's creation to be in harmony with Him. And then, just in closing, I'd like to read this very favorite scripture, Revelations 21, 3 and 5. I think all Bible students love it and use it. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away." And he that sat upon the throne said,